Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, picking up where we were a couple of weeks ago. And this is the fourth part of my series, Fulfilled and Astonished. But let's get to our text. Again, Matthew chapter 8. I'll read verse 5 through 13. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented, or in pain, or whatever the deal was. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily or truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour, or that very minute. Heavenly Father, help us to have the faith of this man. As another one said, Lord, help our unbelief. But Lord, help us to have the faith of this man. Help us to believe. Help us to know that God, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible with God. Help us to trust in that. Help us to bring our problems to you, Lord, to place them at your feet and walk away. Help us to walk away from our problems, trusting you. Lord, I know that there are problems that don't go away just at the snap of a finger. I understand. There are some problems that linger for years and years. I understand. But there's nothing too hard for you. And help us to believe you, as this man did, that you're able and that all you have to do is speak a word, and our problem can be healed. Lord, help us to trust you. For certainly that's what the scriptures are saying, that we should trust in the Master. And Lord, I praise you and glorify you, and I want to serve you. I want to walk closer to you, and I want to read the word and trust it more. And please help us all to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I read this, I get three verses into this text and I want to stop and shout. And if I was in a church or at a revival or something of that nature, I feel I could close my Bible and give an altar call. Because these first three verses are enough. It says that when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came a centurion and asked him, Lord, my servant, he's sick. Lord, can you do something? And in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I'm sorry, but that's enough for me. That God come in the flesh. That's who Jesus is. God, Emmanuel, God with us. God that left his throne to come down here and walk as a man. The man said, I got a problem. My servant back home, he can't get out of bed or whatever the problem is. He's tossing and turning, grievously tormented, whatever that means, in pain or whatever. And Jesus, whatever he was doing, says, I'll stop what I'm doing. I'll put that thing down or whatever, and I'll come and heal him. What a wonderful thought. That Jesus would stop what he was doing and walk to that man's house, if it was a block or a mile or 10 miles, whatever. I'll come and heal him. That's enough for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing. The Word of God is simply amazing. And the things that God did for us. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's amazing when you think of the goodness of God. All the troubles we have, the sickness, perhaps the struggles and problems at work that whoever that is you can't get along with, or, hey, maybe you don't have a job, or whatever the case, all the things that we struggle with here. But God came from heaven, and God is willing and able to help if we would only learn how to trust in him. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And he can come and heal you. He can come and take care of you, whatever your trouble is. Let's trust in him. Again, those three verses are enough. But let's look at the rest of the passage. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come to my house and come under my roof. I'm not worthy. But Lord, all you have to do, and would you please, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. All you got to do, Lord, is speak. What trust the man had. What faith the man had. And notice his humility. The apostle, quoting Jesus, said, God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. We need to have that attitude, the attitude of humility. Yes, trust. Yes, faith, but humility as well. I am not worthy that you come under my roof. But he said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say, hey, do this, and they do it, and etc. I want to take a look at this just a minute. He didn't say, I'm in charge, and he was. He was a sergeant or a lieutenant or whatever rank he had, but he had rank. He was able to order the soldiers around. He didn't say, I'm in charge, I know how to give orders. Or I'm in charge and I expect that when I say something, they'll do it. When I say jump, they'll say how high. No. He didn't say that. He said, I'm under authority. In other words, if he was a servant, he had to answer to the lieutenant. If he was a captain, he had to answer to the general. He's under, he's in charge of those guys, but he's under authority. Somebody else is in charge over him. He understood his position. He understood that he was not worthy to address the Lord. Not worthy that Jesus would come to his house. So he's not in charge, he's under charge, under authority. He's got to answer to those in authority over him. But he has the responsibility of caring for his men and the mission. If they give him orders, he's got to make sure that the soldiers that work for him carry it out. But he's also got the responsibility to care for those soldiers that he's able to order around. And again, it's the attitude. He had a right understanding of authority and the attitude. He's not worthy that Jesus should come to him, come to his house. And he's not puffed up, hey, I'm in charge, and hooking his thumbs and saying, look at me. No. He was humble. He was responsible. He had the right attitude. And it says that when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, truly I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in all of Israel. Now, I need to back up a little bit. It says that when Jesus came into Capernaum in verse 5, there came a centurion. That's the guy we're talking about. He was a Roman centurion. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. Maybe he was in Rome and they sent him. Maybe he was in Greece and they sent him. Maybe he was down in Egypt. But wherever he was, he got transferred, and he was now working in Israel for Rome. Jesus said, salvation is to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. He also said that he was not sent to the Gentiles, but to the nation and the people of Israel. So again, being a Gentile and not one of the chosen children of Israel, he wasn't worthy. Now, I understand that no one's really worthy, but he was a Gentile. He was outside of the kingdom of God completely. But getting back to this verse, when Jesus heard it, he marveled or was astonished. And he commented that he hadn't found anybody that had such great faith in all of Israel. And again, there's this contrast. Israel, the Jews, the Hebrews, they were supposed to know, hey, this is the Messiah. They were supposed to know, hey, you know, the Word of God said this and that and what have you, and we have to be humble. And we have to have the right attitude, and we have to believe in the Messiah, and all of this stuff. But this Gentile, this Roman centurion, again, Rome was oppressing and occupying Israel at that time. He had great faith. He believed. He might not have known all that much, but he knew a little bit about the Scriptures. He knew that there would be a Messiah, and what do you know? There's the Messiah. And it says the centurion answered and said, Lord. And it says that when Jesus heard his cry and said, I will come and heal him, the first thing out of the man's mouth was, Lord. He called Jesus Lord. But after his explanation of authority, his justification for saying, Lord, I'm not worthy that you'd come to my house, Jesus makes this comparison of this Gentile and his faith and his humility and his proper approach to the Lord as opposed to the Jews, that he had great faith. Greater faith than anybody of the thousands and ten thousands of numbers of people that Jesus had interacted with to that point. But then he takes it further. Now, Jesus, in this instance, in this couple of verses right here, verse 11 and 12, he begins to talk like a prophet. We know that Jesus is King of the Jews. We know that he's the Messiah. We know that, if you read other passages, that he acted as a priest, offering himself to God. But Moses in the law, Moses looked forward and said that there's a prophet coming that everyone would turn to, a prophet that everyone would believe. And Jesus is that prophet. Jesus is the fulfillment of Moses' prophecy or prediction. And Jesus, in verse 11 and 12, he speaks as a prophet. And he says, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, the Jews, shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, this guy comes up, this Gentile, this Roman soldier would have you. He steps up, asks for prayer for his servant that's sick, exhibits great faith and trust. And Jesus, moved by the Spirit, he begins to talk about the Gentiles. Again, there are Jews, and there are people that are not Jews. And anybody that's not a Jew, the Bible term for that is Gentile. But Jesus begins to talk not just about that day and that man, the centurion, but he talks throughout the remainder of history. This conversation happened about 2,000 years ago. But the fulfillment of what he's saying, the ultimate fulfillment, is during the millennium. That from the east and the west, many would come. Millions, hundreds of millions, I don't know how many people through the 2,000 years that have given their hearts and lives to God. I don't know how many Gentiles, but many, he said, would come from the east and the west. And they would sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I think that there's a couple of things we can draw from here. He said that many would come from the east and the west. Today, with geopolitics and what have you, America and Europe, that's the Western world. But the Middle East, Russia, China, Japan, what have you, that's the East. And you say, well, that kind of matches. But when Paul had that vision, listen to me, when Paul had that vision of the Macedonian that said, come over and help us, that was the beginning of Western civilization. When God gave that dream to Paul and he answered, he did what God said to cross over into Greece, the Western world, and start those churches and whatever. Again, we have the understanding of East and West, but in Bible days, the same mentality was there. So, that's one way to look at it. The East and the West. And again, Jesus said that as far as the East is from the West, that's how far He put our sins away from us. You know, if you look at a map or a globe, you can start where we are. We at latitude 30 or whatever, and you can go north, get to Canada, what have you, and then you keep going, and what do you know? You're going south again. So there's only so far you can go north before it's south. But if you're in the east and you go to the west, it's unlimited. You go around and around and around and around the globe. It never stops. And that's how far the verse said that our sins have been put away from us. An infinite distance. But it says that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And I believe this too has a couple of different meanings. Abraham, he gave us the understanding of justification by faith. It says that Abram believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And this man that we're studying today, he exhibited great faith. But the Gentiles, they'll sit down with Abraham, or the one that showed us justification by faith. You know, if we simply believe, then John 3:16 applies to us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And all the Gentiles for the last 2,000 years that have come into the kingdom of heaven, they're sitting down with Abraham, the father of faith. But I believe that the ultimate fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy is when we sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Jeremiah and all through history. When we get to the millennium. When Jesus returns and sets up His kingdom that'll never pass away, then all the Gentiles, they'll be with the Jews. Again, salvation is to the Jew first, but also to the Gentiles. You know, and everyone has seen the movie The Ten Commandments, but in the book of Exodus, God delivered the Jews from Egyptian bondage, from being slaves in Egypt, in building the pyramids, perhaps, or what have you. God delivered them. God set them free from that slavery in Egypt. And again, if you've read the story in Exodus, if you've heard it preached or heard it in Sunday school, or even if you saw Moses on your television around Easter, you understand that they were set free by the shedding of blood. That's the story of the Passover. They were told to take a lamb for each house and kill it and take the blood and put it on the doorpost and also the top part of the door. It's called the lintel. And when the death angel passed at midnight or whatever, he would come to one house and see the blood and pass over to the next one. And when he found the next house that didn't have the blood, then he went in and killed the firstborn. It's a terrible story. It really is. But it's a picture and a prophecy of how Jesus Christ hung and bled and died on that cross at Calvary. And if we trust in Him, we too, the Jews were delivered from Egyptian bondage, we can be delivered from sin. As we look, we can live. But when Jesus returns, sets up His kingdom, how many millions or hundreds of millions or billions of Gentiles are going to be also with the Jews?
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.